Welcome to the Premium Way podcast, a space where premium is not reduced to aesthetics or price tags, but understood as identity, as a way of life. In here, we operate at the intersection of psychology, perception, strategy, leadership, and the invisible signals that decide who gets chosen, trusted, and remembered. Our philosophy? Ditch the stereotypes. Ditch the idea that premium has only one face. Premium was never meant to be sterile. It was meant to be rich in character, reflective of your true core and your dream buyer's deepest desires. Like the finest wine, layered, complex, unique, unmistakable to those who know what they are tasting. Refined without losing its edge, unafraid to be different, and impossible to confuse with anything else. This is the room where the ordinary stops applying. This is where standards are set, not followed, and where premium stops being something that you chase and becomes something you embody. This is your permission slip to succeed your way. I'm your host, Yasmin, and this is The Premium Way. One of the most burning questions amongst my clients, amongst everyone who is about growing their brands continuously. The question of how do I move up market without abandoning the people who bought from me, who built this brand with me, who were and are loyal for so many years already? Like, is it even possible to have my brand evolve and move up without hard cutting, without completely cutting them out, without resetting everything to zero so I can build it up to 100, to my new standard of 100? And in this episode, we're gonna talk about this. Because this moment and this question will arise over and over and over again. Because your brand is never going to stand still. You're not going to arrive at a certain level, stage, state, and then just never evolve anymore. That's not how evolution works. And also, that wouldn't even be possible or fathomable in a world where market dynamics change constantly, where humanity also grows and evolves all the time. We have to adapt. We have to grow alongside the humanitarian evolution cycle and seasons. So maybe it's been a recent occurrence for you. Maybe you're in it right now, or maybe you feel that it's kind of upcoming. This moment in your brand's evolution where things start to shift and you feel that your standards are changing or have changed. Your thinking deepens, your perspective deepens or widens and expands. Your identity as the leader or as the backbone of the brand also refines. Or your brand is simply growing up more and more, maturing more and more. And then this question pops up of, do I now have to abandon and leave behind everyone who got me here? And this question weighs heavy very often, not because of strategy, but because of the loyalty coding inside of you. The memory, the identity, the hindsight. Because these people, they didn't just buy from you. They believed in you often before anyone else did. Like your very OG, some of them might still be around. And isn't that beautiful? Same goes for me. I still have people in my audience, in my corner, in my rooms that were there from the very start. And that already answers this question. Because if these people were there from the start, throughout all the evolutions you already went through, throughout all the iterations you took your brand through already, they are still there. So no, I can guarantee you that you don't have to automatically and urgently abandon, just everyone, leave everyone behind, especially if you don't want to. And moving up market, really leaning into your brand's evolution, can feel like betrayal. And I want you to cherish that feeling for a second, actually. It is very human, but it isn't betrayal. Because when we're leaning into this feeling of, ooh, it feels like I'm abandoning someone, feels like I'm leaving them behind, feels like I'm betraying them, and when we really tie the association of betrayal to our evolution, not only is that going to limit us, really, but it also secretly carries the assumption that your audience doesn't also have the free will and the willingness to evolve with you and alongside you. When we think about, oh, my next evolution kind of requires me to leave them behind, then what does that say about your assumptions regarding your audience, regarding your clients? That basically translates to, they're not going to evolve with me anyways. They're not going to come with me or want to come with me anyways. So that's why I will leave them behind. Because they either aren't capable, that's what your assumption is, or they don't want to, that's what your assumption is, or insert any other reason. These are all your assumptions and projections. Even if throughout all of your past 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 evolutions, people have stayed, there might be still a part inside of you that's like, oh, but now they won't any longer come with me. And that is something to first and foremost clean up on your end before every evolution, or while throughout every evolution, before going into, oh, how do I adapt my messaging now? Do I rebrand now? How do I adapt and adjust my visuals now? How do I adapt, adjust, and refine how I am presented or how my brand presence looks like and feels like? There's an important step you need to get into before all of these external adjustments. And that step is cleaning up your assumptions. Because in the end, your assumptions make or break whether someone comes with you or not. It is something that you're going to radiate energetically, that can't be put into words, that can only be felt. And then in the end, as you already know, we decide based on how we feel around someone in someone's world, how a certain brand makes us feel. That is the determining factor of whether I continue to come with you and grow with you and evolve alongside you or not. Quite a while ago, I actually uploaded a post that spoke on exactly this. And the hook of that post was, your content whispers what you really think of your audience. And it's the reason you repel premium buyers rather than attracting them. Because you don't attract what you want, you attract what you assume. And your content is basically showing all your cards, how you present your brand, even beyond the content, positioning, the messaging, the pricing, all of those factors. And a premium buyer can tell in seconds whether you speak to them and whether you see them as powerful or problematic because you assume and subscribe less power to them than they actually hold because of your own projections and fears. So when energetically you're keeping yourself in a state of assuming deep down that they won't get it, they don't have the money, they're scared, this is too much for them, they need handholding, they're not ready, they don't care, they don't really see it, or they don't really see me, that drips into every single thing that you do and put out there. That informs your strategy. And that then creates repulsion. Now, face the question of, how does my next brand evolution look like if I were to assume that my people, they're powerful, they want to come with me, they're just excited as I am for this next chapter. They are movers. They think clearly. They are decisive. They see themselves in this. They are high achievers. They recognize the brilliance in this evolution and they want to have a part of it, have a piece of it, be a part of it. That creates pull. Because then you speak the language of premium energetically, not verbally. And premium buyers feel addressed and seen by what you radiate first and foremost. That is the most crucial first step when it comes to moving up market, when it comes to taking your brand through its next evolution. It's less a question of, do I abandon these people or not? Do I have to leave them behind or not? And more a question of, how can I anchor in a certainty that I know that whoever is meant to come with me into this next chapter will, because they want to, they are capable, and they feel drawn to what that next iteration of my brand will symbolize and stand for. And I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to tell you about an experience. A couple of years ago, Christmas time, I walked into the Dubai Mall Chanel boutique, and I wanted to treat myself to a pair of two of new earrings. And I was welcomed warmly, and I was asked what I'm looking for, and I said jewelry. And the sales associate directly guided me to the high jewelry section. And even though I was interested in fashion jewelry at this time, it felt so empowering. Because what happened in that particular moment? The sales associate assumed, I'm here for the, pardon my French, fine shit. And I'm able to pay that. She didn't question whether I can afford it. She didn't look up and down on me with a critical eye and trying to kind of scan, is that girl actually able to afford that? Like, should I just... She didn't... Look what I'm describing. She didn't lead and guide me to the cheapest things right away. She guided me to the most expensive items first thing, before ever having spoken another word other than, what are you looking for? And I'm saying jewelry. And I was like, yes, mama. Project richness onto me. I receive it. That's so delicious. So the essence is, make sure you are dripping in the right assumptions about your buyers. So when your brand is about to evolve again, make sure that you also do the inner work, the internal part. Here in the Premium Way, you have learned that so far. We are all about psychology, and also personal psychology, first and foremost. The cleanups we got to do inside of ourselves as the brand leaders, as the faces of the brand, as the backbones of the brands. We don't want to operate from a place of assuming other people can't, won't, or whatever. We only operate, that is the premium frequency. We only operate from assuming the best. Now, does that mean the best will always 100% without any exception come true? Not always immediately, because the other person obviously has their free will. But we grant ourselves a bigger probability, a higher probability of succeeding when we meet someone with powerful assumptions instead of disempowering ones. So moving up market doesn't mean rejecting people. It only means rejecting misalignment. It means you have found your work has gained density. It has gained a new level. It has reached a new level. Precision, depth, substance, brilliance. And not everyone is in a position or phase to meet you there. And that is fine. But here's the kicker. It's not because they are less valuable. Like, we don't want to lean into, like, if we're premium brands, if we're premium leaders, we don't want to lean into villainizing the audience or the client as, oh, they aren't capable. No, sometimes life circumstances or life chapters, life paths just don't align. And that is fine. That can be looked at neutrally without having to judge anything or label anything. Let them simply be at a different point in their own trajectory. Says nothing about you. Says nothing about their capacity or willingness or potential or whatever. Premium isn't about exclusion, even though every single book, podcast, class, training, course, coach, consultant says that. It's like this common knowledge. Premium and luxury are about exclusivity. No, they are about specificity. And that naturally will attract and repel people. That will naturally select, that will naturally include or exclude. But it's not about us speaking out an exclusivity. It is about being so specific that exclusivity is the natural byproduct. And here's another fact. Even brands pretending to be inclusive, and this is an unpopular opinion, even the brands pretending to be inclusive are exclusive by nature and by default, because you just can't appeal to everyone. You can't, no matter how hard you try, there will always be at least one person that is repelled by what you do, what your brand stands for, how it looks like, what the vibe is, and so on and so forth. So what I would really want to invite everyone listening to is also ditching this discussion or pedestaling exclusivity. That is just a natural occurrence that we don't even have to do anything for specifically, okay? So moving up market doesn't mean we're actively rejecting people. It means we're rejecting misalignments. Who is a match can stay. Who isn't at this given moment of time can go their own ways. And as soon as we match again, they can come back. No hard feelings. Heart wide open. That is the vibe. And another piece I want to speak on when it comes to moving up market is this tiny little twist that I want you to not limit yourself by. When you're in a phase of feeling like moving up market is the next step for you and your brand, then the question isn't, should I not? Because internally, energetically, you have already clocked and decided it is time, it is due. So the number one limiting factor and mistake you can actually make doing that, it's not about accidentally excluding people, it's about pretending that you haven't evolved. Because you might try to keep your messaging and positioning and brand presence the same, but energetically you're broadcasting from a different level, from a different sphere, and that will create a mismatch to the point where you say one thing, but energetically you radiate something else, and then nobody will really feel this congruency of who you are for anymore. Your old audience will kind of feel, there's a different like layer to it now, can't quite grasp it, but it doesn't feel like it used to. And the future audience still sees what you're putting out there is kind of more addressing the old. Energetically, they might feel pulled to you, but the stuff you put out is just not it for them. And so there's this like mushy middle that you trap yourself in when you resist to actually move up market while deep down knowing it has actually already happened. And this is where courage comes in. Because yet again, the people who are truly meant to grow with you, they will. You already have proof for that. I'm very sure of that. And if not in your business, then in your private life. You do have friends from years ago, and you all went through evolutions. And some of your most premium clients will be people who started with you years ago. Not because you stayed the same, but because they evolved too. And when you don't restrict your evolution, you also open them a massive permission slip and field to evolve alongside you. And in the end, that is what someone is paying you for. In the second episode of this podcast, The Relatability Lie, we have talked about how familiarity is the death of expansion. And you're getting paid because people want to expand in your world and alongside you. So if you restrict or limit your evolution because you're afraid of leaving people behind, you also restrict and limit the evolution and expansion that is possible for your clients in your world. And when they feel that ceiling, it can very likely happen that they then drop out and look for a new mentor. That doesn't limit them, that doesn't rob them of the opportunity to fully expand and fully grow in their world. That is where you lose a premium client. Not because you evolve or you evolve too fast, but because you limit the evolution because you're afraid of losing someone. And then paradoxically, you actually do lose them because your expansion gives them the permission to expand. Your elevation becomes evidence of what's possible. And not just as in you are their ceiling. What I always say very clearly to my clients is, don't take me as your ceiling. Take me as your floor. What I have shown what is possible is not the highest that you can achieve in my world with me. That is actually the lowest point you can achieve with me. Use that. Use me as your trampoline, not as your ceiling, okay? Outdo me. Outsucceed me. Outprice me. I applaud from the sidelines and from the field, depending on what position I'm on in that particular moment. But I do work with clients who have surpassed me income-wise. I do work with clients who have outpriced me. I do work with clients who came in and already made 10 times or even more what I made. I am not their ceiling. I am their floor. And if that understanding is established, that can already show you why people stay with me and in my world for years, because limits literally do not exist when we move from this assumption and this understanding. And that's really fucking beautiful. So when you lean into your brand's evolution, moving up market, you're not leaving anyone behind. They have the free will to come with you. So don't decide for them whether you are leaving them behind or not. That is on them to decide. You're simply showing them the path forward, and that is actually your responsibility and your duty as a leader, as a brand. And again, not everyone will come with you, and that's okay. Because Premium also knows that it isn't built by trying to remain accessible to everyone for love. Remember the first episode? You see all the links in here and how we're just building and building and building on top of the previous. Premium isn't trying to remain accessible to everyone for love and out of fear. It's about becoming more and more fully available to the right ones and being unafraid of fully signaling that by leaning into your evolution unapologetically. And moving up market isn't about becoming less human. It's simply about becoming more precise. And one final thing that I want to equip you with when it comes to feelings of betrayal when leaving someone behind, or having a heavy heart when leaving someone behind. This line is going to change the game for you. Listen very closely. You don't honor your past by freezing yourself in it. You honor it by allowing it to evolve into something greater and letting your past be the fertile soil for that evolution. You don't honor your past by freezing yourself in it. You honor it by allowing it to evolve into something greater and letting your past be the fertile soil for your next evolution. Your old audience and your past aren't meant to be your cage, but your foundation. And foundations, you can't abandon them. You build upon them. And that is a whole different outlook on things. So lean into that evolution of yours. You can't deny it anyways. You already feel that it's happening. The moment you find yourself debating whether to pursue that evolution or not is the moment that your body, your soul, your energy basically already have decided that the evolution already is in motion and you actually can't even go back. You can't stop it. The only thing you can do is not resisting it to make it more smooth and seamless for everyone involved, you and your clients. So good luck and all the best when it comes to that. And if in this phase, you're like, cool, got you, Yasmin. This sounds solid. You shifted my perspective on moving up markets, on having my brand evolve, on leaning into that. And I feel somewhat solid, but would also highly appreciate ongoing support, walking shoulder to shoulder with a coach and a consultant that can really, really help me move through that gracefully without wobbling, without doing damage that's basically unnecessary to your brands or to the relationship that you have with your current clients. And if you really want to pursue that brand evolution from a regulated cue, episode number one, state, then I highly invite you to connect with me, inquire about working with me, tell me a little bit about where you are at when it comes to the process of your brand evolution, and we will find a package together that really suits your current stage and phase so that you can pivot in the most premium way. Because there is a specific process that I take my clients through, and it's about the ratio we approach things with. So that was what I took my clients through when she evolved her brand from charging 1.5K per month when she came into my world and into my work to then charging $10,000 a month for her one-on-one coaching and consultations. That is what I took several other clients through when they were massively increasing their prices over the time span of our work together throughout the evolution, constant evolution of their brand. So if that is something where you're like, I could really benefit from supports in my corner in this phase of my brand's evolution, then you're warmly welcome to contact me. So excited to hear from you. And again, wish you all the best up until then.